In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old story about a devout Christian woman who didn't have much money. She lived in a row house. She would often pray out loud. And I can tell you this is true because I lived in a row house for 20-some years. Your neighbors can hear everything you say. Well, one of her neighbors was an atheist, and he would often hear her praying. Whenever he saw her, he would go out of his way to tell her that God was just a fairy tale and that all of her prayer didn't really mean anything. Well, one day, the lady was absolutely out of food, not a crumb in the house, and she prayed, "Oh, Lord, please send me some groceries." Her atheist neighbor heard that. And he had an idea. "I'm going to show her once and for all that there is no God." So he went to the grocery store, bought several bags of groceries, set them in front of her door, rang the doorbell, ran and hid behind some bushes. The woman came to the door, saw the groceries, and said, "Oh, thank you, God. You've given me the groceries that I prayed for." And the man popped out from behind the bush and said, "I did that. God didn't do that." But without missing a beat, the woman looked heavenward again and said, "Lord, you are so good. Not only did you give me groceries, you made the devil pay for them." Today is, as we've said, Easter Sunday, our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus' resurrection is the central event of the Bible. It is the pivotal event in all of human history. All of our hopes for a better life in this world, hopes for a much better life beyond this world, all hinge on Jesus rising again, triumphant from the grave. We might say that Jesus' resurrection divides the world into two types of people. One type are the people like the woman in my story, people who believe, love, and trust in the Lord. And the other type are the people like her neighbor, the atheist, people who don't. Either Jesus physically, historically, truly rose from the dead, or he did not. Either you believe Jesus was resurrected, or you don't. The choice is really just that stark. Just that plain and simple. We know and believe that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And that makes all the difference. But what about those groceries? Was God really behind that? Did God really send them? Or is that just spin? With so many crises in the world, does God really have time to care if one person is hungry? Will God really intervene in that way in the world today? Or did that stuff end in Bible times? As Christians, as believers and followers of Christ, knowing that Jesus was dead and is now alive, says to us that God is close to us and he cares about us. We know that nothing is impossible for God, and that we can do all things through him who strengthens us, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Certainly, there are some people, like the atheist in my story, who think that God does not exist at all. That is not a logically or scientifically defensible position. Physics tells us the matter can't be created or destroyed. So where did the first matter come from? Where did the energy come from to make that matter into something? In other words, why is there anything rather than nothing at all? No one can answer that without appealing to a higher power, the higher power we know to be our God. Science also tells us that the conditions necessary for life to exist, to say nothing of the complexity of human life, with its intelligence and its consciousness, are so precise, so statistically improbable to be virtually impossible, yet here we are. No one can explain that either apart from God. This is not to say that faith and science are at odds. Being a Christian believer and being scientific are not mutually exclusive. You can be a Christian and use all the amenities that modern technology has to offer. The natural order, the world, the cosmos, has been described as God's first book. The beauty and wonder of this world are expressions of the mind of God. Nature is not God, but nature bears the marks of its creator. God infuses creation with wisdom and love. A false teaching, very popular for a time and still with us today, is that, well, maybe God created the universe and then just stepped away. It would be like a watchmaker making a watch, winding it up, and then letting it run without ever looking at it again. That was called deism. Deists believe that God does not intercede in our world. They say he cannot, will not answer prayer or do anything that deviates from the physical laws he put in motion. So, no miracles. They would not say those groceries came from God. That is not the Christian view. Our Heavenly Father is not a deadbeat dad who abandons and neglects his children. We are not alone in this world. God is with us. The Father heard Jesus' prayers in Gethsemane. He heard Christ's groans and cries and the words from the cross. And at just the right moment, Jesus died for our forgiveness and rose again to bring us eternal life. Our God is not a God far off. He is a God very near. He does not turn a deaf eye to our cries and whispered prayers. He hears everything we say. Where and when God chooses, for his inscrutable purposes, God does intervene powerfully sometimes. Sometimes using miracles, sometimes in more subtle ways, or sometimes in unlikely ways, such as having an atheist buy groceries. So, of course, we pray when someone we love is sick or in need of surgery or facing a multitude of health problems that come as we grow older. And we pray when we need groceries or when we find ourselves in other financial predicaments or when our relationships all turn sour. We don't know exactly what God will do, but we do know that he will do whatever is right. He will do whatever is best in the long run, although we may not always see it that way right away. God could, in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed that the cup of suffering and wrath might pass him by. God could have done that, but he chose not to, and it didn't seem to make very much sense at the time. But in light of Jesus' resurrection, we see how the Father denying his prayer in Gethsemane led to the greater blessing of Jesus rising from the tomb. God the Father knows what is best for us, and he always does that. He does what gives him the glory. So, should we pray when we lose our car keys or misplace our glasses? These aren't sufferings like Jesus went through. Can we pray, though, over little mundane things that trouble us? When I was younger, one of my aunts was sort of the spiritual go-to person for everything in the family. And if I had an exam, I'd call her, and she'd pray with me right over the phone. She'd say something like, "Lord, we know that this test isn't the most important thing in the world. But it's important to us, and if it's important to us, we believe it's important to you. So we ask you, Lord, for your help, for your grace, for your mercy, your will be done." That is an absolutely valid way to pray. If God loves us enough to raise Jesus from the dead for us, he does indeed care about every matter of our lives. Sometimes he gives us comfort. Sometimes he gives us solution. Sometimes he gives us exactly what we ask for. And sometimes God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that what we ask for is not best for us, might not be good for us at all. And he gives us something different, but better, again, even if it's not obvious right away. That God cares for us, and that Jesus is risen, he is risen indeed, is especially good news to anyone in physical pain. Every Sunday, we have a prayer list in our bulletin, and I can tell you that for every person on that list, there are several more with severe health problems that they just don't want to make public. Some people are private that way. And we're not even going to go into all the emotional, financial, family, and other problems that people have. That's just how life is in this world, even for Christians. You may have heard that slang term about having one foot in the grave, meaning close to death. And I'm sure I've said before that there was a friend of mine who would add to that one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Now, I don't think it was exactly was Luther who originated that term, but in one of his sermons, he talks about Christians having one leg in the grave. But Luther was talking about something a little different. He says, and it's true, that Jesus' resurrection promises those who believe and are baptized that we will have a physical resurrection like Christ's resurrection. We will live eternally in new perfected bodies. We already have one leg in heaven, and God is going to pull that other leg out of the grave, out of this sinful earth, and raise us up to be with him. Death is the doorway to the ultimate healing, which is eternal life in paradise with Christ. I'm looking forward to losing my hearing aid and my glasses and my medications when I get to heaven, and I'm sure that many of you will be glad to give up the insulin shots and the wheelchairs and the oxygen machines of yours too. Until then, until we see God face to face, he blesses us in this world. Sometimes he sends us groceries. Sometimes it's the beauty of a spring day. Sometimes it's a successful surgery. Sometimes it's his presence through the storm. It's always word and sacrament. He gives us those things because he loves us. And we know that he loves us because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.